The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1.
You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney, or you can text the programme right now to 51551. If you're listening to radio over the Christmas period, you would have heard a documentary I made about Robert Mazel, the country singer. Robert Mazel, he's not an Irish man. He's originally from a place called Shreveport in Louisiana. And we went back, myself and producer Anna Leddy, with him to Louisiana, to his birthplace, to confront some of his ghosts that he'd been living with all these years. Anyway, he moved to Ireland when he was around 20, and he's been here ever since and has carved out a wonderful musical career for himself. But Shreveport was the base for many an aspiring country star, and many of the great stars indeed. In Shreveport there is a place called the Shreveport Municipal Memorial Auditorium. It holds about 3,000 people, and through the 40s, 50s and 60s, it was home to the Louisiana Hayride. The Louisiana Hayride was a live radio show, which then became a television show, but basically was a live country show broadcast from there every Saturday evening. And the great and the good came to play there. So, of course, we went there to have a look at it because they're talking about starting this up again to bring radio back to the heyday of radio at the Louisiana Hayride and have acts on stage and have people paid to come and see it and people at home listening on the wireless, the modern day equivalent of the wireless. It's a fantastic idea because it's a great start for people, and you can't beat a live concert and a live venue to get real emotion in a performance. And Robert had grown up there. He was all aware of this place, but he'd never sung a note while he was there. In fact, he only started singing when he came to Ireland, and that's where his career blossomed. But back to the Hayride. One of the true greats and a living legend of the Louisiana Hayride is a gentleman by the name of James Burton. He was the number one choice for everyone from Emmylou Harris to Roy Orbison and the king himself, Elvis Presley. Now, you know me, I wouldn't miss an opportunity to talk to a great man like that. Robert was with me, so we did the interview, and I must mention at this stage that he had a bug when we did the interview, but true gentleman that he is, he agreed to do the interview anyway. And during the interview, Robert asked him would he ever come to Ireland. He had been here before, but would he be coming again? And guess what? He'll be here at the National Concert Hall on Monday, 30th of January, with the original Elvis Presley band in tow. So you'll get a chance to see and hear him then, but right now, you're going to hear him outside the Louisiana Hayride. Mr. Burton, it's very nice to meet you. My name is Derek Mooney.
Hey, good to meet you.
Particularly here outside this building, which was famous
for
the Hayride.
Yeah, I played here when I was 14 years old, and it was quite a treat. Played behind George Jones and all the great country singers, Johnny Horton. And later on, greater things happened.
On lead guitar, say hello to my favorite guitar player, Mr. James Burton. James?
You performed with Elvis?
Actually, he called me in, was it 68, to do the comeback special. And unfortunately, I was doing an album with Frank Sinatra, which was okay too, you know. But Jimmy Boyd, the producer, I called him and he said, well, we're in the studio all week and I really need you. So he wouldn't let me go. So I said, okay, no problem. And but in 69, he called me back. We talked on the phone for about 3 hours. And he asked me if I'd be interested in putting a band together and being his lead guitarist and organizing a band and opening Las Vegas at the International Hotel. And I thought about it and I said, well, sure, I'd like to do that. But I was very busy in the studios at that time. I was doing like 4 sessions a day, 7 days a week, no time off. So I made a decision to say, well, okay, I'll try the first month and see how it goes. So anyway, I put the band together. We had the rehearsal with Elvis, and he was very pleased with the band. He loved it, which became the TCB band, Taking Care of Business. So anyway, it worked out great. We opened Las Vegas, and it was so much fun and just so much enjoyment. I decided to stay.
Yeah.
You know, so I was with him up till he passed away, 1977.
Play it, Jim.
To Heartbreak Hotel, where you will be, where you leave so lonely, baby. You'll be lonely, you'll be so lonely, you could die. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Were you close friends?
We were, we became very close. Very close, you know. I could pick the phone up and call him, and he would call me whenever we needed to discuss something. And we would visit a lot. We would have parties after the show in Las Vegas, and he loved to sing gospel music. So after, you know, after 9 years, we're still playing his music. Just amazing. And, we did the big screen show.
Mm-hmm.
Featuring Elvis on screen, and which was just like him being there. It was amazing. And his music will live forever. He will, in everybody's hearts. And the guy was fantastic.
I can see it in your eyes. There are happy memories for you.
He was a great guy to work with. I worked with so many. I went to work with Ricky Nelson when I was actually 16. And that was fun, too. And Elvis and Ricky were good friends, but I didn't actually meet Elvis until 1969. You would have thought I would have met him at Louisiana Hayride, but no.
And every gospel was performed here also, wasn't it? Everything.
Oh, yeah, everything. It was just amazing. I mean, the lineup of artists would blow your mind. Just incredible how many people got their start here.
Hmm. Well, can we go in and see the building?
I would think so.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you about your foundation.
I don't have a key. But
we could knock at the door, we could climb through the window. But I want to talk to you about your foundation also and how important that is
okay.
for you, because I know you've got a base here.
Yeah, we have something that's really cool here in front of the Municipal Auditorium. My place is across the street, but the street here is Elvis Presley Avenue. And there's only two Elvis Presley streets in the world.
And this is one?
Elvis Presley Boulevard, Elvis Presley Avenue. So we're across the street, and we have the whole corner, and that's where we're going to do the museum in the back, and this whole corner is going to be changed. They put a statue of Elvis in front of the Municipal Auditorium. So I've always wanted to do my show. There's so many people I've worked with, so many great entertainers. And I said, you know, I've got to do this. When I did my first show, it was 2005, I wanted to do something. I said, this is my chance to do the James Burton Foundation to help the kids, work with the kids, give them guitars in school. We got music back in schools, giving it guitars, the teachers teaching the kids. And it was just a fantastic thing. We also went to St. Jude's Hospital for the young kids. And we went to the Shriners, the veterans. We gave guitars to Wounded Warrior children here at the auditorium where we did my last show. But in 2005, Elvis had his statue here, and not knowing that they were putting a statue of me up, and so we now have Elvis and James next to each other.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel fantastic, and I'm honored. It's just an incredible honor. When you get Grammys and awards and all those great
things.
And
you've got lots of awards.
Well, but the deal is this. You can't have too many. I don't think you never get too many awards or Grammys. You know why? Because it's living proof that you're doing, still in the business, you're doing something good, giving back and helping. And that's the way I feel about it. So if I win another one, that's good. I'm still...
And how many guitars have you given out, do you think?
Oh, it's in thousands.
Wow.
I don't know the exact number, but it's way over a thousand mark.
And can I ask, James, is it just a guitar, or do you also facilitate the students then by arranging for music lessons, guitar lessons?
Well, we do give them guitars, but I don't... I'm so busy, I don't have time for that, but we do have people to help them with it. We also put in two recording studios that the kids can come record.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're excited about working with the kids, and that's what it's all about. You can't judge how many will take the music and go with it, but you can bet that maybe if three out of five or two out of five, it could change a child's life forever. For good, you know, because I get letters from them, I get emails, they call and thank me for helping them in music, and what it means to them, and, you know, just it's changed their lives. I mean, school, they enjoy going to school now, they don't get mad at the teachers anymore, and they do their homework. And I tell them the most important thing to do when you get home, after you do your homework, sit down and practice for a half hour. And it's good to train your ear is the most important. You know, you can sit down and read music, but if you want to play with a group of guys, train your ear and you can go any place and get up and play with artists, you know? So you can't judge what's going to happen, where it's going to happen, and when. You know,
and I think James as well. I went to Ireland. I don't believe in, because America's a big place. There's lots of very talented singers here. If I was trying to procure a career here in America, I would probably struggle. Whereas in Ireland, I'm one of the few American country singers there, and because of that, I've caught people's interest. And now it's up to me now to continue the music and to keep their interest. But once again, you know, my life here in Shreveport and my life in Ireland, it's all happened because of the connection of music. And like your foundation, and, you know, the fact that I picked up a guitar and got on stage in Ireland is the reason I'm standing here today. Because if that hadn't happened, God knows where I would have been. It's the music.
That's true. You can never judge that. You know, it's a strange situation. And I played on a lot of records with new artists that never happened because... Timing, I think it has a lot to do with timing, and I'd like to come over to Ireland and play some music. I know they have I like the Irish dancers. I know they can get it.
Well, the invitation is open, James. I'd love to have you over, and if I could actually stand somewhere, maybe in Claire Morris, and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage James Burton." I mean, I'd be the star of the show for the rest of my life. So, if you ever do get a chance, we'd love to have you over.
We will do it.
If you were to give Robert any advice,
it might be to. Do you write songs?
I'm a very poor songwriter. I've only learned to play the guitar in the last couple of years, but I am learning, and I'm taking. It's something that I'm really interested in the next 10 years of my career. So, I think that if I can write a hit half as good as some of the songs you've played on, I'd be doing okay.
Well, what's important is that in building your career is that I should have done it myself, but I'm not a songwriter and. You know, it's really good that I had a real dear friend, Jimmy Wakely, told me years ago. He said, "You want to do something in the business that when you're home sleeping, you're being paid."
Yeah, and that's, I like that idea.
And when you're into the songwriting, the publishing, and putting it out there, that's great. Let me tell you about Suzy Q. Playing guitar, I came up with this little guitar lick that. It's pretty interesting to me, and it became an instrumental. And so I was working with a guy. It was a blues band. Dale Hawkins had a blues band, and I was the youngest guy in the band playing guitar. And we played this instrumental 20 times a night in the clubs. And Dale said, "Well, I got to write some lyrics to this little instrumental." And he did. So Dale Hawkins wrote the lyrics, and I wrote the music. Creedence, they recorded. It was recorded by a lot of people. I think Elvis even recorded it. I was sitting in the studio when we were recording, And I was just sitting down, everybody was on a coffee break. So I was playing that little guitar lick, me and Chip Young, and having fun. And Elvis came in and started singing it. He said, turn the machine on, we'll cut it. So, I mean, that's the way Elvis worked. A lot of times you sit down and play something he liked, he'd say, turn the machine on, let's cut it. And that's what happened on the Low House special. I was sitting on my amp, everybody's on a coffee break, and I was playing this old Hank Williams song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, and real bluesy. And Elvis walked up on stage, and he walked over to me and he said, what are you playing? That sounds familiar. And I told him it was old Hank Williams song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. And he said, man, let's do that. Let me get the band up here, Joe. And so we started doing it, and he put it in the show.
Yeah, I tell you a little story, James, that one of the very first record that I ever owned was a 45. And when I lived with my grandmother, she had an old 45 record player. And the side A on the song was Rockahula.
Rockahula, yeah.
And if I can remember right, the A side of that song was... Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. That's
you know,
what I remember.
You know, that was his favorite closing song on all
beautiful
of the shows.
Song. I know. I'm not Elvis, and even if I could sing like Elvis, I could never move the left leg like he did.
Yeah. You never met Forrest Gump.
No, I didn't.
James, thank you very much indeed.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you, guys. I'm so glad you came back, and hopefully we could play some music together, and that would be great. I'd be honored.
Thank you, James. Thank you.
Well, I quit my job down at the car wash. I left my
well, if you're a fan of Elvis, if you're a fan of James Burton, he was in the original lineup. You know the band were called TCB, not TCP, TCB. Now, any idea what that stands for? TCB, text 51551. The original Elvis TCB band with special guests, the Imperials and Dennis Jail. And obviously, you're going to hear James Burton in there because he was the guitarist, Elvis's favourite guitarist. Anyway, 30th of January at the National Concert Hall, which gives me the opportunity to mention Angus McAnally, because we made him a star at Mooney Tunes when he did that tribute to Christy Hennessy. He's also a brilliant guitar player. And he is playing a second gig. He was there a few months ago, just before Christmas, at the National Concert Hall with his own show celebrating Christy Hennessy, the Platinum Collection, if I'm not mistaken. And he sold out then, and he's on there next Wednesday. And can you get a ticket for it? Probably. No, I'm kidding. I think it's sold out too, as it happens. So good luck to him. I say fair play to Angus, because it is a super show. And by all accounts, it went down very well. So you have your choice there from the National Concert Hall. You've got the original Elvis TCB band with special guests, the Imperials and Dennis Jail on the 30th, and Angus McAnally celebrating Christy Hennessy, the Platinum Collection, on next Wednesday, which is the 24th. All right. Do you know what TCB stands for? Text 51551.
Follow us on Twitter at RTE Mooney.